Good morning. We're continuing Maseches Peah. We're in Perek Dalet. We are up to Mishnah Test, the ninth Mishnah in the fourth chapter of Maseches Peah. Mishnah begins, Mishalakat Esa Peah. A person picks up Peah. So again, the owner of the field, he harvests whatever he's taking in, he cuts everything down, and he leaves over one corner. When someone comes by, he picks up the Peah. Yomar Harezo Leish Pliny Ani. So this person is not an Ani. This person is not a poor person. He's not someone who's entitled to pick up Peah on his own. But he knows somebody, a friend of his or a neighbor of his, someone who is poor, and he's entitled to pick up the corner of the field. He's someone who gets the Matnes Aniyim. So he picks it up for him and says, I'm going to give this to him. So there's a dispute amongst the Tanayim what the halacha here is. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Zachalai. Rabbi Lezer says he has indeed been Zaycha in this Tavua, let's call it, let's say it was grain. He has indeed made a kinyan on this for that person. He has acquired it for that Ani, and now that Ani now owns that Peah. Rachacham Omer, Yitnena L'Ani Shenitza Rishon. You can give it to whoever you want. So the Rishon explain that really this is the discussion here is in a concept called a migu. Migu really literally translates this to the beginning of a sentence, it means since. And really what it does is it gives you the power to something which you theoretically can do, even though in this current state you haven't reached there. But since you can ultimately do this, you have the power to do it now. In this case, this person is not entitled to pick up the Matnes Aniyim. He's not somebody who's poor enough. He's not entitled to pick up Peah, but he has the ability to be mafgir, to give away everything that he owns, and then he would be poor. So therefore, he could pick it up. And since he could pick it up because he would be poor, since he could pick it up for himself, he could pick it up for somebody else. So this does sound a little bit of a stretch, and that's why there's a dispute in the Mishnah. But Lezer says, you could say mitaych twice. Since, in other words, it doesn't have to be that practically right now you can do it. Since you can find a way that you would be entitled to this Peah, and so therefore you can pick it up. Doesn't mean you can keep it for yourself, but since you can theoretically find a way to keep it for yourself, you could find a way to get it for somebody else. So Chachamim, they disagree and they say, no, we're not going to pull it that far. It's only if you yourself are able to pick up Peah now, because you yourself are entitled to the Peah, then what you can do is you can pick it up and say, since I can get it for myself, I'm going to make a kinyan in it for somebody else. And indeed, that's the way we paskin. We don't allow a wealthy person to pick up Peah for somebody, even though he may be doing a nice gesture to try to get it for somebody. He's rooting for his neighbor, but ultimately, since he doesn't have the rights to this, he cannot make a kinyan on it. Haleket v'ashikh v'apeah shal nachri, the leket shikha and peah of a non-Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael is chayav and meiser. The Mishnah finishes off, and again the Rambam explains that this Mishnah is going according to the shita of Reb Meir, that even if a non-Jew purchases land in Eretz Yisrael, it's still he doesn't have the ability through his purchase to take away the kedushas haaretz, which would require giving meiser. Again, that's not the way we paskin, but this last line in the Mishnah is saying, leket shikha and peah. Why is it relevant? It's relevant because if a poor person comes and picks up the leket shikha and peah from a field which is owned by a non-Jew, he would still have to give meiser from it, because it was chayev and meiser at the time that it was owned, even though the person who was owning it was a non-Jew, but the non-Jew who bought land in Eretz Yisrael does not have the ability to remove the kedushas haaretz from that land. Mishnah Yud, Eizeh Leket. The Mishnah asks the question, what is considered Leket? Mishnah answers, Hanosher B'Shasek Sir, what falls down at the time that you're cutting whatever it is that you're gathering in. Hayah Kotzer, if he was cutting, Kotzer Melo Yodos, he grabs a whole handful, then, or Talash Melo Kumtzai. So either he grabs a whole bunch, let's say it's wheat, in his whole hand, gets it in his whole hand against his body, and then he'll cut it, and then something falls. Or, within his fist, he grabs a fist full of whatever it is, and he'll cut it. So if any one of those cases, something falls down, that would be leket. The Mishnah continues, he called kites, v'naf hamiya de la'aretz. Let's say he was holding on to it, and the reason why he dropped it wasn't because some just slipped out, rather he touched a thorn, and out of the he was in pain, so he just let go really quickly, and everything fell. So the Mishnah says, harehu shebal bayis, that's not leket. That's not something which fell down, because he just dropped it, because he was in pain. Tocha yad v'tocha magal la'aniyim. Whatever is within his hand, or within the inside of the knife, he cuts in an inside fashion towards himself, whatever is inside, whatever falls down from that, would be to the aniyim. Achara yad v'achara magal, what's on the back of the knife, on the back of his hand, again, that's not considered leket, and that belongs to l'bal bayis. Rosh yad rosh magal, so what's in between? And if the back of his hand belongs to him, the inside of his hand belongs to the aniyim, what happens with whatever is at the tip of his fingers as he's closing his hand, the tip of his fingers? So it's not the back of his hand, it's not the inside. So as you'd expect, we have a machlekes in the Mishnah, v'yishmal emer la'aniyim, kivam l'bal bayis, they have a disagreement as to what we consider to be inside the hand or outside the hand. The last Mishnah in the parak is Mishnah Yud Aleph, Chareya namalam shebaseicha kama. You have little holes that ants dug inside the kama. Kama is where it's still where whatever you're planting is still connected to the ground. Harehen shebal habayis. Whatever is in there belongs to the bal habayis, because we, even though the ants brought it there and it's loose little stalks, but that is baseicha kama. That's where everything is still connected to the ground, and leket only takes effect at the time of ketsira. He didn't cut it yet, so therefore it belongs to the owner of the field. Shalachar koitzrim, if after he cut it, so then the Mishnah says it depends. Halyonim la'aniyim tachtem shabal bayis, the top half of what's in these holes belongs to the aniyim, because we assume that fell down at the time of the ketzira. The tachtem, what's in the bottom of these little holes, belongs to the owner of the field, because that must have fallen off while it's still connected to the ground. The way the Yerushalmi explains how you tell what's what is by the color. If it's green, we assume it fell off when it was still connected to the ground, it was not ripe yet. And if it's white, then it was ripe, so then we assume that fell off at the time of the Ketzira, and that belongs to the Aniyim. Remeir disagrees and says, Akol Aniyim, whatever are in these holes goes to the Aniyim, Shesavak Leket Leket. It's impossible to tell what fell Vashasa Ketzira at the time that you were cutting, and what fell earlier. And that he doesn't go for the color coding because it's impossible. He says it's impossible for someone to cut down wheat in the field and make sure that everything is 100% ripe. You'll always have some green stalks at the time that you're cutting it off. Have a great Shabbos. We're finishing Perek Dalet.